This First Baptist Church for Sunday, June 21st, 2026.
Chapter 2. This is our third foray into verse 10. Allow me to read the full passage. If you're able, would you stand, please, in honor of God's word? "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Gracious Father, pleading the mercy and the blood of Jesus, I ask you for that line that I always need, that thread, that I might speak your word with clarity and succinctness, that your people might be attuned and receptive to all that you have for us from the feast table of your word. Hallelujah. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Please do be seated. You will notice, please, in verses 8 and 9, we read of this gift of faith, that it's a gift. And in verse 9, we read, "not a result of works, so that no one may boast." So getting right to the heart of the matter, right out of the starting gate, the salvation that we know is not something that we accomplished of our own volition or doing. That simply is not possible. It simply is not. You know, for those of you who are mechanically or technologically capable, you know of me that it is utterly impossible for me to fathom anything that you're doing. My lovely granddaughter loves to cook. The best that I can do is Kraft macaroni and cheese, and Brother James, you'll be proud of me. I made some on Friday, and I took your counsel, and I shut the boiler off, the burner, before I put the macaroni into the water. It worked like a charm. I could kiss you and I do. Thank you. But I needed that level of assistance. Don't be shy. We are not capable of saving ourselves in spiritual terms. It is simply not possible. What is possible for us is to have an open and humble heart towards God by which we are led to ask Him to save us. And in asking Him, we will very quickly come to understand that though it's important that our hearts be in the right places, aka we ask Him, it is a more fundamental truth that before we ever asked, He was already on it. He already understood the need, already had taken action. Indeed, according to Ephesians chapter 1, He had taken action even before the world began. Amen. Now, we're speaking of Father's Day, so when our children were little, or when we were little children, and it's Christmas time, I don't know how many of us were aware. I mean, maybe we attributed it all to Santa Claus, or maybe we knew better than that, or maybe we didn't know anything. I remember 4 a.m. on Christmas morning, my brother and I would be up waiting for Mommy and Daddy to get up so we could open our gifts. 4 a.m. And we would get little attitudes because they weren't getting up yet. It's only 4:30 now. We'd have even worse attitudes at 4:45. When are they getting up? It took me a long time to realize that they never got to bed until about 3:30 in the morning because they were putting things together. They were taking care of business before Christmas morning began. Our Father, who art in heaven, has been taking care of business since before time and space began. Amen. All right? Those are the two categories, time and space. God works in time, God works in space. There are philosophers who would argue that time and space are actually man-made categories that have no meaningful existence. You can debate that if you want. But before time and space began, whatever that means, God was already at work on our behalf. Praise God. All right? So He began a work on our behalf. It's God's work. Salvation is God's work. I trust we all know that.
Amen.
And if we don't, you've heard it here now, and you take it home and to the bank. Salvation is the work of God, no one else. It's not the work of the church, it's the work of God. The church, and by which we mean the people of God, we are the beneficiaries of the work. We are on the receiving end of the work that God has done. Now, having said that, Scripture, as Pastor Mitchell and I often speak, is filled with paradoxes. So, one paradox that I always bring to the forefront is in Galatians 6, Paul's letter to the Galatian church. He says right out of the starting gate, carry your own burdens. It could be in reverse. Carry your own burdens. Before the chapter is done, he says, carry your brother's burden. Is that a contradiction? Nope. There are contexts at play. You're not to impose upon other people unnecessarily. By the same token, they are entitled to impose upon you if necessary. You understand the distinction. So here we have Paul telling us that salvation is not of our works. And yet in the 10th verse, the very next verse in the text, we read that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Well, what good works is he talking about? We can't work our way into heaven or into salvation, but what we can do is, having worked through our salvation given to us by God, we can now put that salvation to good work. All right? We can put that salvation to good work. Praise God. Now, Our dear brother Matt underwent major surgery earlier in the year, or late last year, forgive me, within recent times. The surgeon did a fine work, but he didn't invent that school of surgery. He didn't invent medical discovery and knowledge. It was, if you will, revealed to him. It was already there. But what the surgeon did was put the knowledge to good use. Brother Matt's doing just fine now. Absolutely. So you and I are called of God to put the gift of salvation, a gift given to us by God. He did the work. It's been revealed to us. It's been shared with us. It's been received now by us. And for us, it is our business to put this gift to work. You understand the difference, I trust.
Amen.
Now, first and foremost, as we brought forth last time, we are His work. We are His good deed. Okay? You and I are who we are because of what God has done. In the first place, he gave us the breath of life. He made us in the image and likeness of Himself. Whatever that means, that's another story, another sermon for another time. But then when we needed it, He redeemed us. He saved us. He restored us. So twice now, He has done a work on our behalf. And not only are we the beneficiaries, we are the showcase. We are His work, His craftsmanship, His poem. I love that. Having said that, we read because of this, we are created. Brother Dennis, could you pop down? There's a silence button. That thing's going off, the alarm. You'd be the one to know to do it. You'll see the silence button. Not to worry, folks, I know what it is. But that interrupted me. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I speak French now. It is, by the way, French goes with opera, not country. I just need you to know that. It is our raison d'être, our reason for existence. You and I should be doers of good deeds. Because in the doing of good deeds, we showcase and make known the love and truth of Jesus. Because on the one hand, we're being obedient. And obedience is, thank you, Dennis, obedience is grossly discounted today. Nobody wants to be obedient. We all want to do our own thing. But obedience is one of the hallmarks of the Christian. So if you are allowing your life to be a doer of and a purveyor of good deeds, you're being obedient. But you're also being light. Light to those who dwell in darkness. You know, how many people here in recent times, you've gone up against somebody in public and you just want to kill them. Punch them in the face. Kick them in the you-know-where. Set them straight. We've all had somebody who's gotten on our nerves in public. All right, somebody the other day on the road, I was with my lovely lady friend, and somebody had the audacity to beep his horn at me. What are you beeping for? I hate it when people beep at me. What are you? I'm in my lane. I'm within the speed limit. What is the problem? He's beeping at me. I want to beat him into a pulp. That's just my flesh. I'm being humorous, but I'm not endorsing it. All right? Understand something. They probably don't even know what they're doing. They don't know what you and I have. They don't know who you and I know. I was given that counsel 46 years ago when I worked at Logan Airport. A pilot, an Eastern Airlines pilot who should have known better. I was doing security. I had to see his ID. He got angry with me. Gave me grief, threatened to report me for doing my job, ma'am. I was so upset. And Mr. Malcolm Morrell, who worked by my side, he was with the airline, I was with the security company, a deacon in his Baptist church in Malden, Massachusetts, he said, "Brad, relax. He doesn't know who you know." And that set me at ease. And because he doesn't know who I know, he doesn't know what constitutes right and wrong at a deeper level. He was motivated by his instincts and his flesh and his pride, not necessarily by what was right. They don't know. You know, when I see a young man walking with his lady, and he's on the inside of the sidewalk, not on the outside, I want to kill. But then I realize, nobody taught him. Remember this, please. When you obey God and give your life over to being the embodiment of goodness and good deeds, you are light to a fallen world. They are seeing something in you they haven't seen before. They may not necessarily like it. They may not necessarily like it because it's pricking them to be other than who they are. And you know what the Word of God says? Jesus himself, I'm paraphrasing, but those who dwell in darkness, they love darkness and hate the light. They love darkness because they're catering to their sin. So it's not for us to condemn them, it's for us to reveal to them a differing way. And to make known to them, not, forgive me, I don't mean this, I'm not being cheeky as a Red Sox fan, but our job is not to make Bryce Harper known to them, or in my case, Larry Bird known to them. Yeah, we can talk all of this and have great fun with it, of course we can. But our fundamental, and by the way, more soberly, it's not for us to promote Donald Trump or Barack Obama. We have our political opinions, we're welcome to them, and they play out in conversation. You know where I stand. But our primary motivation is to make known our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God. And we do this, and we can talk. I should write a textbook on how to conduct conversation. I'm not saying anything. Like my beautiful mother, I can carry on simultaneously 3 to 5 conversations at a time. It's my gift. But we can talk is cheap. Putting your talk into embodied form makes the difference. So we've been created in Christ. You know, that phrase is so rampant throughout the New Testament. It means something. It means in this particular instance, to be in Christ means that we are men and women who do good deeds. And what does it mean to do good deeds? Well, number one, I'm going to suggest this. It's very simple. Just look around and pay attention. And a whole world of need opens up before your eyes. Okay? You just have to pay attention. A whole world opens up. You're no longer blinded or obfuscated by your own selfishness or your own woundedness. You see beyond your own nose, and you see the need that is out there, maybe even sitting right next to you, behind you, or in front of you. You know what? I don't get into the movie theaters much anymore, although I do want to get to Young Washington, which is coming out right before July 4th. But if you go to a movie theater, I'm always very sensitive. You ever sit behind somebody who's bigger than you are, and you can't see the screen as well? The last time I was in a theater, I sat down, it was the only seat left, and I knew I was sitting in front of an individual who wouldn't be able to see the screen because of my height. So I turned around and I asked him, "Sir, would you like to change seats?" He said, "No, thank you, I'm fine, but thank you for asking." But I knew, even though he declined my offer, the offer meant something to him. I was seeing beyond myself. And the Christian is always called, always equipped to see beyond himself or herself. Amen. You're meant to be a servant on behalf of Christ in action in the world. We may not be of the world, but we're in it.
Amen.
You are light to this world, Jesus said. You are salt to this earth, Jesus said. Be mindful of this. It is your reason for being a believer. We can't ignore it. We can't neglect it. We can't reject it. It is who we are. And there's nothing worse than people not acting for who they are. You ever meet people and you know instinctively they're phonies? I'm not going to tell you where. I'm not going to tell you who. But what I will tell you is I know a restaurant where there's a waiter who projects being the greatest guy around. And I know for a fact he's a phony. He just is. Every Christian, intentionally or unintentionally, who is not embodying Ephesians 2:10, is a phony. It's just the hard truth.
Amen.
And you don't want to be a phony, do you? I don't. Transparency and authenticity is such a... What if someone gave you a painting and told you that, and even gave you a certificate of authenticity, that it was a Renoir? Maybe a little pen and ink sketch, because there wouldn't be many of these on the market. Well, and then one day you discover that it's not real. That the guy's aunt in Oshkosh, Wisconsin did it. You'd be fit to be tied. And you wouldn't be able to trust that man anymore. Well, if people out there meet Christians who are not able to be trusted, because they're not actually living the life they profess to be, what reason do we give them to seek out Jesus Christ? Now, they are responsible within their own souls on the one hand, but we are responsible for setting a tone and a standard and an example. This is why we are created in Christ Jesus for just this, to do good works that declare the glory of God. So pay attention to who and what's around you. Opens wide the door, number one. And then you have to ask yourself a question. How has he built or constructed me? There are those who have been built, if you will, to be very quiet people. But you know something? You can be quietly effective. Blowhards like me can be blowing off all day. And you go about your Christian life quietly effective. Or maybe I'll never forget, this is not meant to be unkind, it's illustrative. We had a lady in the church a number of years back. She had her issues, but she was a lovely woman. And my goodness, she quickly showed us what a marvelous gift she had for hospitality. You could walk into this building for the first time and she'd have you at ease and feeling like one of the family within 30 seconds. I was praising God. You can never have enough of such people. But what saddened me was she wasn't interested in the slightest in applying that gift for God's purpose. And what a loss to the kingdom of God. What a waste. If you are equipped or built that way, that's how God wants to use you. And it's going to be who you are that He uses. It's not going to put extra burden on you. It's who you are. So that would be a question. How, Lord, have you constructed or built me? And you get a handle on that question, and that's how you can be fruitful in what you do. And then, please, you have to ask yourself a third question. Am I willing? Am I willing? You know, I've said for a long time, and I know this bucks against classic leadership principles that get in all the books, but I've never had the luxury of what some of these authors have had. I've often defined leadership in practical terms as leadership does what leadership needs to do. Is there a need? Step in and fill it. The great Carter Conlon out of Times Square Church often said, and he had this experience when he pastored in Canada, do you see that the church rug needs to be clean? Then clean it. At the Brooklyn Tabernacle, there was a little petite older woman. You know what she did? They have an old theater in Brooklyn, gorgeous facility, and it needed renovation. She took it upon herself. She was in every day, had a lot of gold gilding. She took it upon herself to be in there every day for a few hours to daily clean the gildings, the frameworks. Somebody needed to do it, and she had the time to do it. Now we're speaking of doing things for things, but then there are people. Jesus didn't die for gold framework or rugs. He died for people. And so our primary work relates to how we interact with people. And again, you don't need to be a showman or an extrovert to be a light for Christ. And so if you've asked yourself the question, am I willing, give God the declarative, Lord, I'm willing. Was it Isaiah? Lord, here I am. Use me. But we have numerous examples in Scripture of men and women called of God who bucked against the calling. But in the final analysis, God had the upper hand. Moses bucked against the calling. And what did God do? Every excuse Moses had, God filled the need. No more excuses. Jonah bucked against the call. God called him to preach to the Ninevites. And guess what? I think Jonah hated the Ninevites more than I hate the guy beeping at me. And he refused to do it. Guess what happened to Jonah? By the way, it's not undocumented in human history. People say, oh, that's just a myth, swallowed by a whale. That's just a myth. You know, we have an extant case, the most recent case of which I'm aware. A Russian man was swallowed by a whale. He was in the bellies of the whale for 3 days. Whale spit him out. Came out with yellowed, jaundiced, wrinkled skin. So it happens. So the story of Jonah may not be myth. It may very well be historical fact. But that's what it took to snap Jonah into obedience. So better you be an Isaiah. Here I am, Lord. Send me. And then one other question, please. I think this cuts to the heart of the matter. Do you wish to be a blessing? We know we wish to be blessed. Is there anybody here who doesn't wish to be blessed? Ray, do you not wish to be blessed? Something would be wrong with you if that was what you wanted. Kim, do you wish not to be blessed? I mean, God gave you Tony. Do you wish you didn't have Tony now? Of course you don't. You've been blessed. Ed, God has given you 90 years. And I know the last few have been rough. But I think you'd still take it. You want to be blessed. You want to make it to your 90th.
Oh, yes.
And exactly. You know, a renowned historian by the name of Gordon Wood. Steve, he taught at Brown. He was a professor of the Revolutionary period. I have his books. I've read several. One of the giants of the field. 92 years of age. Spent his life studying the Revolutionary epoch. You can imagine he could not wait to get to our nation's 250th anniversary. 2 weeks ago, he was in a shopping center parking lot, was hit by a car, and he died. He ain't making it to the 250th. Of course we want to be blessed. But the question for the Christian, the assurance for the Christian is, you are blessed. The question for the Christian, do you want to be a blessing? Now, I will speak for myself, and I tell you, I'm going to qualify, because my point is not to blow my horn. There's not much of a horn to blow. There's foible, there's flawed, there's another F word I want. There's any. But I know in my heart that my heart's desire is that wherever I find myself, whatever space I'm in, with whomever I'm sharing that space and that time, I want to be the presence of God. I want God to be operative in me and through me. And relax, guys. He has a way of working past our flaws and foibles. You can say, oh, I'm not worthy. Oh, I'm not qualified. Oh, I could never do that. You said that once.
He just did anything to dwell in ability.
That's correct. But your lovely wife, long before you knew her, said that. And what did God do? And you've been doing it the rest of your life. Do you want to be a blessing? Knowing that you are the workmanship of God, that means you've been blessed. Knowing that you're created in Christ Jesus, that means you've been doubly blessed. Do you want to be a blessing? That is, having been so created, do you want to be the doer of good deeds and be the good work God has equipped you to be? Indeed, that God has prepared in advance for you to do. It's already been laid out. You know, like those. I don't know if they still make them. Though. You go to this, the art supply store, and you'd buy a painting by number. Just follow the numbers, and you'll do a Da Vinci, right? Or a Rembrandt. It's already laid out for you. Just follow the numbers. Well, just follow the path God has laid out. And you will be, on the one hand, a masterpiece of God's creation. And on the other, people will be drawn to you like they're drawn to a special museum exhibit. They'll be drawn to you. They'll take their cue from you. They may even, because of you, be saved themselves. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's what I have for you today. Praise God. I think a little shorter than my norm. I just want to say to the lovely ladies, you don't know how good you have it today. I could have gone on for like another 15, 20 minutes. You go out praising God, okay? Let us pray, please. Thank you, gracious Father. Pleading the mercy and the blood of Jesus, we are so grateful for who we are in and because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as you encourage and exhort us, grant that we may be readily, lovingly, faithfully obedient. We want others to know who and what we have. Through our lives, may your name be praised, and may lives be touched for Jesus Christ. We pray now in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Praise God.